Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome. Every Saturday morning from 10 to 10:30, we talk about relationships. Relationships are hard, but it's even harder if you don't have the information. And this morning, we're going to talk about men who want to get married. But before we go into the whole aspect of men who want to get married, let's talk about the upcoming events. Upcoming events, June 23rd at Charlie's, 7300 block of Georgia Avenue. It's going to be another spectacular top shelf affair, top shelf businesses, top shelf men, top shelf women, top shelf attitudes, top shelf everything, including top shelf liquor, and it's a $5 Thursday. Where can you go and get drinks, anything you want for $5, Cavatiers, Hennessy, even if you don't drink, orange juice costs $5 in the restaurants and nice spots downtown in D.C. today. You can't go nowhere and get a $5 Thursday, but you can do that at the Black Card event, the Black Card Way. Come out on June 23rd. There's a pop-up boutique from Carolyn Robinson. She'll be doing the pop-up boutique. She's going to pop up with some fantastic clothes. We're going to have a little auction, and we're going to have some music. It's going to be like that. But the big event is July 22nd, a milestone of publishing from Russell's News to Be There magazine. It's going to be at the Knights of Columbus in Silver Spring, Maryland. Get your tickets now. Go to www.bethere.magazine. Click on the event. We're going to have a night to remember. We're bringing back all the club owners from the clubs, from the restaurants, Sly, Ham, Sam Gross. We're going to be doing all the people that was with us back in the day, 35 years ago, the original Russell's Angels, the new Russell's Angels, all the Be There Magazine Women of the Year, all the award winners. And the music will be played by the one and only Cosmo De Facto. He's more than a musician. He is a songwriter, talent beyond talent. He has everything that you need to be what they call in a good event. So he's going to be there putting on a spectacular show. We're also going to have musical selections by Kenise Washington, and we're going to have Ivy Robinson and a few other people, but it's going to be like that. Dick Gregory's going to stop by. We reached out to Willie Jolly. Also, it's just going to be on and on, people who have known me for 35 years. But this morning, we're talking about relationships and about marriage. People want to be married. Some men do want to be married. Contrary to belief, men aren't running away from marriage. If you're young, in your 20s, maybe you'll dodge in marriage. If you're 30, maybe you can still dodge marriage. But if you're 50 or 60, there's no such thing as dodging. Maybe marriage dodged you. If you find a man and he says, I'm a confirmed bachelor, and he's 60 years old, maybe he didn't dodge marriage. Maybe marriage dodged him. And at some point, you get to the point in life where you're in your 50s or 60s or 70s, and you don't have a wife, you may be dead as Julius Caesar. Dead as Julius Caesar, because you don't have nobody to witness your life. You don't have nobody to verify that you're alive, somebody that cares about you, and God forbid you get sick. Every man needs the oatmeal lady. First off, I want to bring up our co-host, Marilyn Bland, then we're going to bring up Cosmo. He's going to talk. He's a songwriter, but he's also an insightful man about relationships. Marilyn, you on the air? Go ahead.
Well, good morning, Russell. It's good to be here with you this morning, and I must say that I'm excited about our guest that will be joining us, because I think it'll be interesting to many of our listeners, especially the women out there, to know why men want to get married and what is it that draws them. Because oftentimes, you know, and I know, when we're talking about relationships, we have the women calling in. We get that aspect of it, but I think this morning, it's going to be really interesting to find out what are our men really thinking. What is it that they really want, and what does it take to really keep the relationships going? So I'm here to listen this morning.
Excellent, excellent. Let's bring up the one and only Cosmo De Facto, who's insightful in writing songs about love, but he's also insightful about what love is and what do men want from women as far as a wife. Welcome aboard, Cosmo.
Hey, how you doing, Russell?
I'm doing
glad to be up. You know, I'm a night owl, man. Up writing music. You know, I'm independent. You know, but I'm not married. I would say that, first of all, this goes for man and woman. No one can change a person but God. God is the only reason for a person to change. So let me say that first. It has nothing to do with another person. Some things about luck, but I think that people got it backwards. Man or woman, you meet someone that's about me, 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 or nothing, when it should be about us. So if you want to find someone, well, let me say that. I should say not find, because I don't believe in the word find. When two people feel that they could be somewhat compatible, I look at it this way, because my mother is my God. She talks God all the time. You know, she's been on dialysis for several years, and I could tell her a buddy of mine got his leg cut off. She said, son, there was a reason for that, but God got him living, right? So for me, my mother, she's an odd mess. She keeps me along the line of God. But I look at her as a woman to know what a woman might think. And women need to look at a man or listen to a man to know what he thinks. Does he have good friends? Do he have great family? First of all, the first thing we should do in the morning, and if we go to bed anyway, and I'm not no spiritual expert, but you should thank God that you woke up and you were able to breathe. That's the first thing we need to do. And if everyone says God gave his only son for us and he loves you unconditionally, then that's what we need to put in front of our book. Man and woman meet each other. You love each other. Now, you know, I look at it, if a person is buying you material things, that's not love. That's called control, Russell. And for me, I see it too much. Oh, he gave me this. He took me there. He took me here. He took me there. But then on the backside, he has no respect for you. He talks to you any kind of way. You should leave that relationship immediately. That's man or woman. I can't speak for all men, but I can tell you that loving someone and pleasing someone are totally two different things. And if you don't mind me to elaborate on that, I'm just going to say something about a woman and her teenage son. And she knew that her son was doing something that he shouldn't have been doing. Same way with, you know, being in a relationship. So one day she finally realized, hold up, this boy coming up with too much money. She decides to call the cops and found out her son was heavily into drugs. They locked her son up. So long story short, they said, well, why would you, social worker asked, said, well, why would you call the cops on your son? And you know what the lady replied, Russell? I'd rather see him every week in prison than to make one trip to the cemetery. So what I'm saying, if you love someone, you want the best for them. It may not make them happy, it probably won't be easy, but loving someone does not mean allowing them to hurt themselves. And it doesn't mean you must allow them to hurt you either. So we need to get that, you know, in perspective. So you have to love yourself first. You can ask me a couple of questions, and then I'll elaborate on that as well.
Fantastic. Yeah, this morning, what's so important about this morning is women say men don't want to get married in some cases, or women say men are scared of the C word, commitment. But as men get older, the C word and marriage becomes an increment part of their life. It's hard in some cases to meet somebody at 19 or 21 years old and say to them, you're the only woman I ever want in my whole entire life. If I live to be 100, I never want another woman but you. You haven't tested the water enough to make that decision. You don't know what type of women are out here at 19 or 20 years old or 21 years old to really decide this is all I want. Because life is not like that. There's things that you haven't seen. There's things that you haven't felt. There's things that you don't know. To make a decision of that caliber, you have to be in love, 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 love. But as you get older and you test the waters, you've had your oars in a couple of lakes and you pushed across that lake and you know what it is to be with a woman and what type of woman you want, then at some point you have to make a decision. You got to settle down. You cannot stay out here forever by yourself. No man's an island. And without a woman, you become half a man in some cases. You need a woman. So I want to
Well, you're not complete.
Go ahead.
I said you're not complete unless you're married. You have God in your life, and you don't become complete. Yeah, I tell buddies all the time, a lot of my friends are married. I have great friends. Their wife has accepted me because they know how I am. I'm single, but I'm not going to settle. You shouldn't, again, Russell, have to buy anyone. You know, in a life, first of all, you should tell the truth. You have to get the mind cleaned out before you can accept the truth. We all know that we're, of course, people talk about being perfect. We're not going to get in that part. The main thing is you should be telling the truth, is that, you know, when a person respects and honor and they're loyal to you and they're willing to work with you to make your life better, and that is love, and they become your support system unconditionally. That's what love is. It's not someone who, like, let's go here, let's go there. I got buddies say, oh, I'm not going to change. I don't agree with that. That's exactly why they're by themselves. I'm not by myself for that reason. I'm always willing to change if it's the right person. But, again, I'm not going to be materialistic about it. Because just like me, I don't drive it, but you can have the big house, you can have the big car. That's your payment, Russell. It has nothing to do with me. If I had it, it has nothing to do with me, to do with you. But what has to happen is you have to first accept yourself first of who you are, knowing how you are. And again, if you're going to go into a relationship, you have to go into that relationship thanking us and not thanking me, because you're never going to get anywhere. I don't care how old you are, Russell. I have never wanted to be single. You've been knowing me forever. My grandfather, who mentored me, stayed married 60 years. My other grandparents stayed married 50-some years. I got my mother's two aunts are in their 90s. Of course, their husbands are deceased. I come from a great family, but the thing is that you have to be willing to work together. It doesn't matter where nobody lives. People say, oh, where you live at? What you do? Damn it, I live in a warehouse. How about that? I live in a teepee. Doesn't matter where I live. If you want to be with me, then you need to be talking about where can we go together. That's what you need to be saying to reel in someone. I don't care if a woman works in a pie shop. I don't care if she lives and takes care of mother. Matter of fact, if she's taking care of her mother and her father and living at home, for me, my eyes are going to be open wide for that, because I see that this person really cares and loves someone unconditionally, and she may do the same for me. But people have got the wrong attitude. That's why they're single. Or I can do it by myself. I'm in the music business, Russell. I play at houses. I see the house on the outside. It looks great. I walk on the inside and I say, oh, it's all tore apart. If the furniture doesn't match the house. But I would never say that. Do you get what I'm saying?
I hear you. I hear what you're saying.
You've got to live within your means, not above your means. Again, I'm finished with that, but go ahead.
Excellent, excellent point. People are running around now looking one way on the outside, but on the inside, they are not what they appear to be on the outside. And if you don't have your act together on the inside, can you find a wife? Can you be with someone? Can someone marry you? A lot of men are in their 60s or 70s. They may look good on the outside, but on the inside, they are broke down. And you can't get a wife if you broke down physically. You got to catch somebody before you break down. And they took a vow to be with you after you broke down. But if you broke down physically, emotionally, psychologically, and you are in that position where you are sick, God bless you, because you can't get a woman in some cases. It's hard.
Well, I'm glad you said that, Russell, because when we started out, I was listening, and when you mentioned that when a man starts out in his 20s and everything, he wants to test the water, see what's out there. But I was also listening to Cosmo, and I think one thing that's important is to teach the young men. That's something, and it's becoming even more apparent to me as I'm sitting here listening to, you know, two men have this discussion. And as a mother and from a large family, you know, young men or children need direction as they're growing to become men, because if not, then we're going to continue in this, you know, circle that goes nowhere. So I think that's so important. And I heard, I guess Cosmo say that his, was it your grandfather or someone you said that was your?
Yeah, both of my grandparents, yes.
Yeah, your grandparents were mentors to you, but I'm saying that makes all the difference in the world. So it has to be a mindset and has to be instilled in these young people, really from the time that they're born. It should be part of the conversation, family. I mean, as simple as that might seem or as out of bounds as it might seem, as I'm sitting here listening, I'm asking myself, well, how can we accomplish this? How can we do that? It's okay to tell the young man, okay, you know, you meet women, you respect them, because I think I shared last week that there was this motivational speaker who said that men are looking for respect and sex, and women are looking for intimacy and security. And to a large extent, that is true. But the point is that there has to be some direction, even from the time you're a child. Talk about the family. Talk about these things. You kind of integrate it into the conversation. Let the young man know, yes, you don't have to marry the first woman you meet. Respect her while you're with her. But if you're going to go to the extent that you would, you know, put her in a position, make sure that she's someone that you would want to marry. I mean, I've heard so many times where a woman would get pregnant and, you know, in the relationship, which is something I still don't understand, you get pregnant and then neither one of you want to be with each other, but it's something that should be taught. Hey, don't do that until you are ready to get married. And then if you do, make sure it's someone that you could live with if you, you know, if you were going to get married. It's just so much. But one thing that sparked in my mind as I was listening, and I can appreciate what you're saying, Cosmo, I guess the question was, you know, Russell and I have had this conversation on one of our previous shows, and I could appreciate what you said about the woman. It doesn't matter where she's working, what she's doing, you know, if
yeah,
she really loves you, that's important. And it's so funny you said that, because as I was preparing this morning, it went through my mind, and I said one of the things that I wanted to discuss was you might as well be honest, because if you start out dishonest, eventually it's going to surface, and then you're not going to be happy anyway. So it's better, as is, you know, you to think of it this way, even though you might want the person, if they're not the one, just remember there are a billion more out there. So, you know, you have to learn how to cope and deal with it. But the question I wanted to ask was, it was just triggered by your conversation. What if you met a woman, she made twice as much. Let's just say this was the example. You made $150,000. She made $350,000. First of all, would you be uncomfortable with that? And secondly, what would be your expectation? I just want to hear from a man's point of view, because I've gotten the woman's point of view. But if a woman made $350,000, you made $150,000, and let's just say you all got married, what would be your expectations from that of that woman, and would you be comfortable in a situation like that?
Well, again, you're talking to the right guy, because I don't have an insecure bone in my body, and I probably know more people than the average person knows. And I have always, even on my Facebook, well, I have several websites in my name, and I just write strictly about love, success, and happiness. I keep it right there. I write about the truth on my website. My main website says you have to get the mind cleaned out before you can put the truth in it. That's under my wisdom page. But it wouldn't bother me at all, because my whole life has always revolved around, if you give me a card and whatever that card says and you live by that card, I'm happy with just that. Everyone has their own. First of all, I'm this way because I spend a lot of time to myself. If I'm not at the piano, I'm actually a safety instructor as well during the day. Then I'm at the piano. I might go out and support some friends and uplift them and talk to them about things, but I'm back doing the same thing. That doesn't bother me at all, you know, because first of all, I'm not even going to want to know that about you. The first thing I'm going to want to know about you is your health. I go to the doctor. I go to the dentist. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I only curse if I hit my foot too hard, and I have to. And not saying that, you know, I may not have a cooler, but I'll probably be wasted drinking a cooler. Again, that wouldn't bother me at all. My grandfather made all the money. He built his house. He built his store. He built his shoe shop. He's been passed now about 20 years. Both grandfathers, matter of fact. Both grandmothers didn't have anything. But guess what? They supported my grandfather, and my grandfather's letting them have whatever they wanted. So I'm going to say it in a reverse factor. And they didn't take advantage, but, you know, both had 7-8 kids. And they live happily ever after. Again, as I go back to this, if you have to love someone unconditionally, if you're with someone, it really doesn't matter how much they make. You should be supporting another person. I have a buddy who's about 48 years old. He doesn't drive. He wants to be married. You know, the man is not married. He has no kids. He rides the bus. He lives in D.C., catches a cab, right? And let me tell you something, the greatest attitude in the world. And a few ladies, I heard people were trying to introduce him. They found out he didn't have a car. They didn't want to date him. You want to know something? He's a millionaire. They never even got the time to even get to that part. I'm being serious when I say that. He's a millionaire, and he's single. And, he has the greatest. I only surround myself, let me say this, by positive people, people who are going to uplift me, because I'm the type of person, I'm going to uplift you. I'm going to promote whatever I can for you. I love doing community services. This is what I'm doing. I'm working with Dr. Dula, my mentor now, who's the president of the South Democratic Club, and I'm always asking him to find me a place because I want to do a show for domestic violence, which is my number one cause. And people always ask me, why domestic violence? I tell my mother, because I've been beat up a lot. I have to laugh about it. But, you know, some people, again, you know, they portray this one thing, and behind closed doors, I've had people cuss me out for no reason at all, and I'm looking at them going, hold up, you don't talk to people on your job like that. Now, what if I was, this is in the past, what if I was the type of man who went out and put their business in the street? And I really know a lot of people, but you know something, never spoke a word of who it was. I just said to myself, there'll never be, you know, I'll never be answering that call again. You know, but again, as a man, I think it's too many players out there. I think people focus too much on their shoes, you know, their clothes, their car, their house, what they have. They're putting that in front of people, and people say, oh, he got this, he got that. No, he got it. She got it. if you make $300,000, that's your money. That's not my money. I know how to make money. But if I have someone in my life who's supporting what I do, guess what? The money I make goes into the pot for us both. That's how I look at life.
Well,
I don't look at life.
No, I'm glad you said that. But again, being married, and I guess that's a discussion that we probably could have again too, because when when we were discussing it, the women, well, several of the women were like, "Hey, whatever I make, that's my money. He's still supposed to take care of us, and he's the man of the house. Let him be the man." So I'm like,
well,
I think
first
it's an interesting
they
discussion.
Just missed the Bible then, and I don't go to church. Like I say, my mother is my church. They just missed all the Bible then. You can't go to church.
You remember that, Russell?
Yeah, I remember
that discussion.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You can't go to church and sit up in church and then make that statement. And you do understand what I mean. God made woman for man. God gave woman man's rib, right? It's to work together. It doesn't. Money doesn't matter. And I'm heavily into history, too, so let me say that. I've kept a diary since 1993. I write almost every day about my life, what I did, where I was, who I am. And I read a lot of history books. And the thing is, in the day, women understood, no matter how much money they made, that the man was still the head of the household. And just to make a quick gesture, I can't think of her name, but this lady is one of the most powerful women in Hollywood, right? And I can't think of her name at this point. And her husband doesn't hardly make no money. And I'm talking about this woman is filthy rich. And someone asked her, "How do you balance family life?" She said, "My business has nothing to do with my marriage." She said, "That's my husband. And my husband is the head of the household regardless of how much money I make." I'm going to leave that at that. I'm going to do a period
on that. Excellent.
Okay.
We're going to take a break when we come back. We're going to talk about some closing statements. But also, when it comes to this money thing, I mean, money thing is really something that people got to look at on their own. But it's amazing that we have men that want to be married, and people aren't taking it serious enough to have a man come on the air and say he wants to be married. I mean, it's serious. Call you on the air, 202-252, you on the air. Go ahead. Yeah, but it means something to say basically that you are doing what you need to do in life, and people really want to find love for all the right things and not the wrong things. But when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this money thing, this aspect of money, because money is a factor in relationship. You can't have a relationship without no money. But then I know some homeless people on the great. I walk through the streets of D.C. and I see the homeless people on the grate in the wintertime with the blanket over them. And you lift the blanket back and they got love in their heart. They're holding each other, kissing each other on top of the grate. That's the love that you can't even begin to equate that love. When somebody can kiss you on top of the grate, or metro love, when someone can actually stay with you and ride the metro before Uber. Metro, we'll be right back. I'm going around. my man, so let's get married today. Let's get married today. You don't want to drive you away. That's the ultimate seal of approval is that marriage. When you can get that marriage card down and put that wedding band on the hand and put the license page in place and have them sign the paperwork. It was a song out years ago, She Got Papers on It. If you got papers on somebody, it's critical, boy. There ain't no air in that. You just can't get out if they got papers on you. But let me iterate before we do the closing statement. Money is not a factor of love in a relationship. If you
that's
don't
right.
have any money and you think that's going to be the glue or the nucleus that's going to keep your relationship afloat, you're fooling yourself, because there's always somebody with more money. There's always somebody that got more stuff. If she's with you for your money, there's always somebody that's going to have more money. And she's going to leave you for the highest bidder. And then it's vice versa. If a man's looking for a woman with money, then he's going to leave you for a woman who got money. Some men need to be with a woman who has money because they ain't got no money. And that they look at situations like, do I have what they call a turnkey relationship? Can I get off my mother's couch in my mother's basement and move into a $500,000 house and get a key and have a master bedroom with 5 or 6 toilets and a big screen to watch my football game with my buddies? Because now I'm married. It's called a turnkey operation, a turnkey marriage. You can leave your mother's basement at 50 years old with nothing and meet a girl who has a beautiful home in Fort Washington with 5 bathrooms and 10 rooms and a big backyard with a Weber grill. And if you sex her right and glaze her eyes up right, she can marry. You can put the marriage card on her behind, and when you'll be married, and then next week you'll be inviting somebody over for the 4th of July picnic. It's called a turnkey operation. It's that kind of party, man. People looking for a turnkey.
I don't know if I'm gonna move in with it, but go ahead.
No, but a guy who don't have, if you don't have nothing, or a woman, vice versa, if she's on Section 8 and she got 5 babies and she don't have a pot to piss in, but it's throwing out, she need a guy who lives in Woodmore with an elevator in his house. I mean, she can get in there, put the kids in there. They all got separate bedrooms. She got 5, 6 bathrooms to go in. She's turnkey. She can call a girlfriend and say, I got married last week. Went to Las Vegas. Where you live? I live in Woodmore. It's a turnkey operation marriage. People look for that. If you don't have nothing, you can meet somebody with something and be married.
You also got to know the law, though,
Russell. Huh?
Sorry to cut you off, but you also got to know the law, because some states state that whatever you had before you met somebody belongs to them. And, you know, marriage is a business too. You know, the law states that whatever had, so if someone throws up in your face, this is mine, I done had people to do that, and guess what? And I think you already know what I got, so we won't do it, because I don't even get into that. I don't get into what I have. You know what I'm saying? That's just not me. But people always want to say what they have by sight. Remember, again, we're talking sight. Sight doesn't mean anything. It's what's inside of you and what's inside of your heart. Do you love a person unconditionally? Me, if I had it, if I marry somebody and they want their name on the house, their name going on the house if I have a house. If I got thousands and thousands of dollars worth of stuff, whatever I have, that person, if that person is supportive and that person is for me and that person loves me, almost like my mother loved me, you better believe, baby, I don't need this, so take your pick. And remember, Russell, now, I have stuff at a big warehouse. But, you know, that's material stuff, man. I don't live materialistic like that. My money, and I'm going to say it on the air, it goes back into who I am. You can go work at a job. They can fire you from a job. But find your gift, because they can never find you from what your gift is. You can't get fired from a gift, Russell. That would be your job. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So people need to support one another regardless of what they have. When you say this is mine, I understand if you get in a relationship, you got kids, I want my daughter or my son to have this. I would like for them to have this. Like the lady said, you have to be upfront with all this stuff, though. You can't not be upfront with things. You know, tell the truth. And if you tell the truth about who you are, what you're trying to do, let the other person decide if that's what they want from that person. But the main thing in life, I'm going to tell you what I want. When I'm sick, I want someone to call me up and say, honey, do you need some soup? Do you need me to bring you some orange juice? Do you have any Advil? That's really all I want. I don't want nothing else, Russell. Because I know they care about my life, they care about
excellent
me.
Excellent point. We're gonna close this out. We're gonna get some closing statements here because basically this has been serious, and the lawn's been jumping off the hook here. People have been listening and cutting off, but people really want to know what a man wants for a wife. And we sort of covered a little bit of that today. We're gonna do this show again, but a man wants a wife. A man needs a wife to extend his life. Women need a husband, but men definitely need a wife. It's a proven fact. You live longer if you got a wife. If you got a wife, you're going to live longer than the man with no wife. The man with no wife sort of dies without that longevity of life because he realized that he's living too long without a woman. And he don't want to live that long. Some people can't stay on this earth without a woman. You have to have somebody that's companion you, that wants to be with you. I go to the McDonald's in the morning just to get my little coffee, my little senior coffee, and I see these couples coming in. They're like white people, man, in their 80s, 90s. They come in with their wife. They sit there. The wife sits down. He goes get a cup of coffee for her, get a little pancake breakfast for her. They sit there, and they talk to each other. They do this every day. He got a wife. I mean, he may be 80 years old. She may be 90 years old, 80, whatever, older than him or younger than him, but the bottom line is they got a wife. And it all comes out in the wash during the funeral. I mean, you can see where somebody's life is at the funeral because if there's nobody on the front row. Muhammad Ali died. They had the funeral. And what was so profound was he had a wife for the last 20-something years, man. He had Parkinson's. But that wife, man, he had somebody there that was Parkinson with him. I mean, you get Parkinson up, man. It's bad enough getting Parkinson. But when you got Parkinson and no wife, I mean, it's critical. But Muhammad Ali and the wife spoke, and when it got to the point where the Parkinson got him, she was there for the Parkinson. And she got up there and she spoke eloquently. And they didn't even mention the other wives because the other wives was not Parkinson up. They were not there. They left. The first wife, the second wife, and Porsche, all the other wives was nickel dime because you know why? They were not Parkinson up. When a man got Parkinson, they were gone. So that's my closing statement. But Cosmo, give me your closing statement, then Marilyn, give me your closing statement.
Let her go first, and then I'll go if she doesn't mind.
Well, I was just here. I was so into it this morning. I was listening myself. I just think it's great. I want to thank you for coming on. But I think it still goes back to what, you know, we're saying earlier that we need to instill this in young people so as they grow older, because everything we've spoken about, it comes to a point where you have to make decisions, but how much time is really put into our young people, giving them direction so when they become young men, young women, that they will be able to make decisions? Because when you talked about the money, that was one of the things we were speaking about. It's right, it's not how much money you have, and money should not be the deciding factor, but I know growing up we were always taught that you should be working, or if you're able, you should be able to contribute something. But
that's
as
right.
You were saying, Russell, some people have the mindset, I don't have to have anything, but all of that needs to change, and then things would go better. Because, you know, this program is based on, you know, the Bible. You know, that's the blueprint of what we speak about, and it all comes back to that. So the key is to have that mindset. Otherwise, we're going to be going through the same chaos from here on out. We have to instill in our young people so when they become adults, they can get on the right path and have a desire to stay on the right path. But I want to thank you because you have contributed a lot this morning, given a lot of insight, wisdom, And I could even tell from our discussion, when we get to certain points, if it does, it becomes emotional, but that's reality. And those are the things that we really need to focus on. So I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay, well,
great, Cosmo.
Two things. First of all, when we use the word need, no, we need God first. And when we understand God, again, we're going to understand after God what we need after God, but God is who we need first. But on the young people point, real quick, two people have to be on the same page when they have kids. I have a son. My son is nothing like me, okay? He lives with his mother in Virginia, 20-something years old now. I can't do nothing about that. She says to me one day, you know, your son is into music. Can you give him something? I said, hold up, no. He can come and work with me on events, and I'm going to teach him a skill. If anything is to happen, he can have it all. But I'm not going to give him anything because when I was young, I helped my grandfather every week, every other day. My father wasn't in my life, but my grandfather was. And he taught me to invest in myself and then buy what I want by investing in myself. But again, Charlie Wilson. Do you know Charlie Wilson was living on the street? Nobody even knew who he was. Real quick, his cousin came and found him because they used to do drugs together. The man lived on the street 2-3 years of the Gap Band. This woman, who was his counselor, took him in, blah, 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 got him cleaned up. This is no lie. The woman gave the man a house. He said he had nowhere to go. When she asked him, what was he going to do? He said, I have no one. He said, you're the only person been there for me. Will you marry me? Do you realize that the woman that this man is married to now, she didn't know who he was. Charlie Wilson's wife supported and brought that man up. And look where she's at now. And all he does is talk about his wife. But I'm going to leave you with my newest song, hopefully next year. If I had a river, I would sail you across the sea. I would take you to a place far away where there'll be no one but you and me. I would build you a house on an island surrounded by the trees, and I would be so happy because there's only you and me. It's you that I need. It's you that I love. And out of all the women in the world, you're the only one for me and the only one I will ever need. I'm going to leave you with that.
Excellent, excellent. A man who wants a wife. This has been an excellent show. This has been a show beyond a show because men do want to be married. Who in their right mind wants to die alone? You got to realize that life is like that. I don't want to, but somebody, but what happened to Russell? He died. When did he die? Well, he was dead 8 days. Or Marilyn called me up. Well, how come he ain't doing the show? He's dead. Well, who?
Don't
want to
hear that.
Knew he was dead. Yeah. Nobody knew he was dead. Nobody got the word out. You know, Russell's news, man. Russell's news is dead. I mean, come on. You got to have a woman, man. You got to have a wife, somebody who cares about you, somebody who knows that your life is worth. Everybody, Chris Rock. Chris Rock said, you know what? It's all about having a woman and a wife. He said, everybody wants some new booty. He said, but new booty ain't going to take care of you when you get sick. He said, you got to have a wife. And he ain't lying about that. You got to have a wife, a woman who loves you, or somebody who will take the oatmeal challenge. And that's what you look at with a woman. You say, hey, I don't care what you got, how much cars you got, how much money you got. Can you take the oatmeal challenge? And what's the oatmeal challenge? If I get a stroke, can you catch the oatmeal before it hits my bib and put it back in my mouth, even if I can't chew it? Hold a tablespoon up to my mouth and press it so it won't come out. That's the oatmeal challenge. Most women are not ready for the oatmeal challenge. And I'm going to close with also about the kids thing. When you start talking about what you're going to leave your kids, are you going to leave me this, Daddy? It's not about what you leave your kids. It's about what you leave in your kids. You want to leave something in your child to self-sustain themselves so they can be somebody on their own. Without leaving them what's in themselves, then you're going to be dead as do you see with your children. They're going to take everything you got, spend it, and you're going to be in your grave rolling over. This has been Today's Relationships. It's like that. Tell somebody about it every Saturday morning. It's going to be a big one on July 22nd. So we'll see you next session.
Took a shower. Once again, I'm heading home, but I'm heading. Now I'm running the whole set.